Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes. Go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
In the early hours of February 11, 2022, a high-speed chase tore across A46 motorway near Six Hills in Leicestershire, England. 3 cars were involved: an Audi, a blue Seat Leon, and a Skoda Fabia. But it wasn't just reckless driving. This was a coordinated pursuit. The Skoda was trying to get away. The Audi and the Leon, relentless in their chase, boxed it in at every turn, speeds reaching 100 miles per hour as they weaved through traffic. The Skoda, desperate to break free, ran a red light, but the cars behind it stayed on its tail, nudging closer. Then came the impact. The Leon rammed the Skoda once, then again. The passenger in the Skoda dialed 999 in panic, telling the dispatcher he was being followed and that he believed they were going to kill him. Moments later, the Leon slammed into the Skoda one final time. The Skoda veered, jumped the median, and crashed into the trees, the car split in half on impact before bursting into flames. 2 young men trapped inside died instantly. The crash was devastating. But it wasn't an accident. This was intentional. Join me now as we unravel the events that led to a fatal ambush, orchestrated not by hardened criminals, but by a young TikTok influencer and her mother. A story of obsession, betrayal, and a decision that turned a social media dream into a real-life nightmare. In the recent years, the word influencer has taken on a new meaning thanks to platforms like Instagram and TikTok. But the idea of public figures swaying opinion or selling products isn't exactly new. As far back as 1905, actor Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle became one of the first celebrities to endorse a brand, Murat Cigarettes. It opened the door to a world of celebrity advertising we still see today, from Rihanna and Louis Vuitton to Messi and Adidas. But TikTok changed the rules. Suddenly, it wasn't just actors or athletes commanding attention. Ordinary people, armed with a smartphone and a little charisma, could carve out their own slice of internet fame. And that's where Mehak Bukhari came in.
Waiting for the queue to get some tickets to the museum, Hagia Sophia, so
it's such a long day. We have finally relaxed and found a beautiful, beautiful shisha place.
Mehak Bukhari was born in 1999, and by the time she turned 20, she'd launched a TikTok account under the name Maybe, short for Maybe Vlogs. Like so many from her generation, Mahek was drawn to the promise of online fame, a curated life, instant recognition, and the possibility of turning social media into a career. She certainly looked the part. Mahek had long, glossy black hair, a petite frame, and large doll-like eyes framed by thick lashes, the kind of appearance that seemed made for the influencer world. And for a while, it looked like things were taking off. Her audience grew fast during lockdown. While much of the world slowed down, TikTok usage skyrocketed, and Mahek's daily post offered a distraction from the isolation and anxiety people were feeling. She shared makeup routines, outfit reveals, and designer bags, small glimpses into seemingly effortless life. Within a year, she'd built a following over 130,000. Her videos had pulled in millions of likes. It was enough to convince her to drop out of Manchester University and chase social media fame. A risky move, especially when you consider just how few creators make a real living doing it. To put it into perspective, a TikTok video with 100,000 views might earn a creator around $2. And of the 50 million people who now identify as content creators, fewer than 100 can sustain themselves from it long term. Still, a 2021 survey revealed something striking. 86% of people aged 13 to 38 said being an influencer was their new version of the American dream. And unlike what many might expect, Mahek's parents didn't push back on her decision. In fact, they supported it. Especially her mother and Serene.
So where have we just come back from? Just had a lovely photograph done. You guys want to see? We basically wore these traditional clothes, Turkish clothes, and we took pictures and we did like a little photo shoot.
Not only did she support Mahek's ambitions, she joined it, frequently appearing in her daughter's videos, dancing, lip-syncing, sometimes even dressed in traditional Pakistani clothing. Those clips became some of Mahek's most popular. In one, the two swayed together under a caption that reads, "Having an elite relationship with your mom." In another, Mahek lip syncs while a heart-shaped image of her mother appears on screen. The caption, "To the woman who birthed me, I appreciate you so much." Even Mahek's father joined her videos throughout her travels.
How nice is the kebab?
Oh, that's very nice. Really, really nice. So tasty, very juicy.
I know.
And if you have a time, if you visit Istanbul, I can say you must need to come and eat everywhere. All the Istanbul food is very nice, but this place is...
To outsiders, it looked like Mahek had found the perfect balance. A growing platform, a glamorous social life, and a mother who doubled as her best friend. Mahek was a regular on Manchester's party circuit, attending product launches and influencer events. And most nights, Aunt Serene was right beside her. At these events, Mahek told friends that her mom wasn't just a parent, she was a sister figure, someone she trusted with everything. For Aunt Serene, it was a world far removed from the one she'd known. And the more she stepped into her daughter's spotlight, the harder it became to step back. Aunt Serene Bukhari was born in Pakistan in 1977, but her family relocated to the UK when she was still a baby. From a young age, Aunt Serene had dreams of becoming a flight attendant and seeing the world, but her parents wouldn't allow her to attend college. That chapter never opened. She eventually married a man named Ali Raza, and together, they built a quiet life in the city of Stoke-on-Trent, known locally as just Stoke. The area sits in central England and carries a proud nickname, the Potteries. The name comes from its centuries-long history of pottery manufacturing. Old bottle kilns still mark the skyline, a nod to its industrial past and enduring charm. Ali owned and ran a car wash and a takeaway restaurant, and Serene stayed at home with their children, Mehak and her younger brother. Later, she took on the role of managing director of a private security company. For years, life followed a steady rhythm. But as Mehak's online presence grew, so did the orbit around her. The girl who once needed a chaperone to her parties was now bringing her mother along, not out of obligation, but because they enjoyed each other's company. The two were inseparable, and Aunt Serene welcomed that change. She later reflected on that shift in a statement. "When I got married, I was like a housewife, but with this TikTok thing, I was going out more. It was like two different lives. It was more excitement. We were out and meeting people and stuff. For someone who'd spent decades in domestic life, it was like stepping into a parallel reality, filled with lights, music, and curated moments captured through the lens of a phone." Some said Aunt Serene clung tightly to the fringe benefits of her daughter's sudden status. Nights out became frequent. She embraced the role of chaperone, but also seemed to embrace the lifestyle. And amid the new lifestyle, a secret life began to take shape. In 2019, Aunt Serene downloaded a video dating app called Azar. It was there she met a much younger man, Shakib Hussein. He worked in a bakery as a local delivery driver. He told her he was 27, but the truth was, he was only 18. Despite the 25-year age gap, a relationship formed and quickly escalated. Aunt Serene, perhaps flattered by the attention, found herself pulled into a romantic and sexual affair with Shakib. They met up in hotels and apartments across Birmingham and London. It wasn't just passion, it was secrecy, escape, the thrill of something forbidden. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some parts of parenting gets easier. Like you can finally have real conversations. They can grab their own snacks, and they might even clean up after themselves on a good day. But some things never get easier, like teaching them about money. The truth is, kids won't truly learn to manage their money until they get hands-on experience. And that's where Greenlight comes in. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature, where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores, customized to your family's needs, and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. I really wish they had this when I was a kid. The amount of lawns I had to mow just to get a new skateboard. And with the ability to see the money being deposited after you do your chore, I think it would have motivated me a lot more. And we've got 5 kids, and that's a lot of allowances. I really wish I had started using Greenlight for them a lot sooner. Greenlight is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Maybe that's why millions of parents trust and kids love learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance and safety app. Don't wait to teach your kids real-world money skills. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/madness. That's greenlight.com/madness to get started. greenlight.com/madness. Over the next 3 years, Shakib lavished her with attention and gifts. Presents she hid from her husband, clothes, trinkets, money. Things she couldn't exactly explain if Ali ever found them. But by early 2021, Aunt Serene had grown tired of the relationship. The affair had run its course. She wanted out. Shakib, however, didn't. According to his sister Sana, Shakib was crushed. After the breakup, he shut himself in his bedroom, stopped dating, barely spoke. He begged Aunt Serene to come back. She refused. The refusal soon turned into resentment, and then threats. If she wouldn't stay with him, then she could at least pay him back for everything he'd spent. He claimed the total of 3,000 pounds, a significant amount for someone his age. But the request didn't stop there. Saqib began threatening to expose the affair. He had pictures, videos, messages. He even left a comment on Ali's TikTok account, revealing the affair. But Ali brushed it off, assuming it was just another internet troll, someone trying to get his daughter's attention. He never mentioned the comment to Ansarine, but Saqib's threats grew louder. He began sending dozens, eventually hundreds of messages, menacing texts, promising to release intimate footage to her husband and son. One message read, "With one click, I can end your marriage." Another warned, "You're pissing me off more and more by ignoring me. I will do something you're gonna regret. I'm a crazy bastard." For Ansarine, the walls were closing in. She felt trapped, caged by her mistakes, afraid of what her community might say if the affair came to light. Her marriage was at risk, her reputation, her standing in a conservative Muslim household, where extramarital affairs, especially with someone younger than your daughter, were more than just frowned upon. In desperation, Ansarine reached out to the one person she believed could help. Not a lawyer, not a confidant, but her daughter. Mehek was only 21 at the time, and this would become the moment, the fork in the road, where the story turned. Because from that point on, the choices they made together would drag 8 people into a plan that spiraled into deception, violence, and murder. A plan they couldn't undo. It's unclear how long Mehek truly knew about her mother's secret relationship with Saqib. She didn't approve of it, but she didn't intervene either. Later, she claimed she never liked him. But when Ansarine finally confessed she was being blackmailed by a young man she once trusted, Mehek was furious. The threat wasn't personal. It was digital dynamite, capable of destroying her parents' marriage and detonating her online persona Mehek had spent years carefully crafting. The thought of explicit images of her mother circulating online was more than just embarrassing. It was existential. An online scandal Mehek feared could bring her entire influencing career crashing down. And the man behind it all was threatening her mother, her best friend, the woman she described as her soulmate. Mehek believed she knew exactly how to handle him, but it wouldn't be something she could do alone. She reached out to one of her followers, Rikan Karwan, a 28-year-old man she'd met after he suggested a YouTube collaboration. The two of them had become friends. Now Mehek needed a different kind of collaboration. She told Rikan she needed someone jumped, but she couldn't reveal the real reason, not without exposing her mother's affair. So Mehek told Rikan a lie. She claimed Saqib had doctored a nude image of her, superimposing her face onto another woman's body, and was now using the image to blackmail her, threatening to ruin her reputation. Mehek, the influencer, knew how to sell a story, and Rikan bought it. Rikan then called on his best friend, Rahis Jamal, who brought in his cousin Amir Jamal. Together, they recruited a few more acquaintances, Sanaf Gula Mustafa, Natasha Akhtar, and Mohammed Patel, to help out. The plan in Mehek's mind was simple. Saqib would be lured out under the pretense of receiving 3,000 pounds, the money he'd been demanding. When he showed up, the group would ambush him, rough him up, steal his phone, and finally delete the explicit material threatening her mother's name. It was a reckless plan, poorly conceived, but it didn't matter, because Mehek had already made up her mind. And when she brought the plan to her mother, you'd expect Ansarine, who'd lived through more, seen more, to shut it down, to urge caution, to protect her daughter from spiraling into something far darker than a social media scandal. But answering didn't. Instead, she agreed to go along with it. In the days that followed, Mehek sent Saqib a chilling message. "I'm sorry that this year, you'll be gone, Saqib." And then, more disturbing signs began to surface online. In one TikTok post, Mehek jokingly claimed she'd killed someone today, while the soft chorus of Shawn Mendes' "I'll Be Okay" played in the background. It pulled in 28,000 likes. In another, she lip-synced a line from The Vampire Diaries: "A woman could easily kill a man with the right motivation." Both recordings were posted after the plan had already been set in motion. On the night of February 10th, just after 11 p.m., Mehek messaged Saqib. She acted as the go-between for her and her mother, letting him know that the money had been sorted. She told them she had the £3,000 he demanded, and he could come and collect it at a Tesco car park in Leicester at 1 a.m. Saqib agreed. He told Mehek he wanted to speak with her mother too, almost like he still believed there was still a chance to patch things up. Mehek and Ansarine weren't going alone. They were joined by Rikon and Mohammed. All four piled into Mehek's Audi. Another car, a blue seat Leon, was part of the convoy too, registered to Natasha Akhtar, though it was Rahis behind the wheel. On their way to the meeting spot, the group even stopped for fast food. Calm, casual, unconcerned. Meanwhile, Saqib had a problem. Leicester was over an hour away, and he didn't have a ride, so he called someone he trusted. Hashim Ejazuddin was just 21 years old, a kind-hearted friend who never hesitated to lend a hand. So when Saqib asked for a lift, he agreed without question. It's unclear whether Hashim knew the full story behind the trip, but either way, neither of them had any idea how quickly things were about to unravel. When Saqib's sister Sana saw him getting ready to leave, she asked him where he was headed. He told her he was meeting Mehek and Ansarine at a Tesco parking lot to get his money back. Sana urged him not to go. She warned him he might get rushed, but Saqib went anyway.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hashim and Saqib pulled into the Tesco parking lot just after 1:15 a.m. They'd only just parked when they noticed two figures standing in the stairwell, faces covered by balaclavas. Behind the masks were Rikon and Mohammed Patel. Just a few hours earlier, Rais had recruited Mohammed to tag along, telling him there was a situation and they needed someone in case things turned nasty. He brought a balaclava as requested. He wasn't told much, just that he'd been filling a seat. He'd never met Mehek or her mother before that night. At the car park, Rikon handed Mohammed a tire iron and told him it was just in case. Then they hid in the stairwell, waiting for Saqib to approach the Audi. But the plan was already falling apart. Saqib spotted them, and Hashim hit the gas. As they tore away from the lot, Saqib called Mehek in panic, demanding to know why two masked men were waiting for him. The blue Leon with Rahis at the wheel peeled off in pursuit. Rikon and Mohammed jumped back into Mehek's Audi. Now Rikon was driving. Mehek and Ansarine weren't backing down. They were determined to get Saqib's phone that night, no matter what. As the cars chased Saqib and Ashim down the darkened roads, calls flew back and forth. Saqib and Mehek screamed at each other over the phone. Mehek paused during the argument just long enough to warn Rakeen not to damage her Audi as he maneuvered closer to the Skoda. Before hanging up, Mehek gave Saqib one final threat. Watch what I do to you. Then Saqib dialed 999. His voice trembled as he begged for help, telling the operator they were being chased by masked men. Then the line went silent. At the same time, Rikon and Reese were also on the phone with each other. Reese said that if they were going to stop the Skoda from getting away, he might have to ram it. It's not clear if Rikon looked to the front passenger seat, to Ansarine, or to Mehek in the back, but he gave the go-ahead. Fine, ram him. The Leon struck the Skoda, then again, a third hit. It was enough to send the car hurtling toward the A46, veering off the road before slamming into a tree. The impact tore the Skoda clean in two. Saqib and Ashim were killed on impact. Seconds later, the wreck burst into flames. The entire chase, from the car park to the crash, lasted just over 10 minutes. CCTV captured what happened next. Both the Audi and the Blue Leon continued down the A46. At a junction, they stopped. Two people got out, inspected the vehicles for damage. Then they got back in. The convoy turned around, driving past the wreck as flames consumed the Skoda. And no one called for help. Instead, later that night, CCTV caught the group casually walking through Leicester, Mehek, eyes locked on her phone. When first responders arrived at the crash scene, the fire was so intense they couldn't get close. By the time crews extinguished the flames, the bodies had to be identified by dental records. Not long before his death, Saqib sent Ansarine a chilling message. As soon as the money is sent, Saqib is gone. It turned out to be darkly prophetic. He was really gone, caught up in a nightmare set in motion by the very woman he wanted to reconcile with, and her daughter. Ashim had nothing to do with any of it. He was an innocent bystander, just a friend trying to do a favor. As emergency responders were still racing to the scene of the crash on the A46, investigators were already combing the 999 call Saqib had made. During the call, Saqib updated the operator with their location as they sped through the dark countryside, pleading for help, terrified and desperate, while the cars chased them and closed in. That call would become the first major clue in unraveling the events of that night. From there, detectives immediately launched a full-scale investigation, assigning between 50 to 60 officers to analyze CCTV footage between Leicester and Nottingham. What they uncovered was like a twisted version of a travel vlog, frame-by-frame surveillance footage capturing the convoy of vehicles, moving in sync down the motorways in the dead of night. While no camera caught the crash itself, the lead-up told investigators everything they needed to know. The pursuit, the positioning, the timing. There was no mistaking what it was, an orchestrated ambush. Just 4 hours after the fatal crash, police arrested Natasha Akhtar, the registered owner of the Seat Leone seen in the footage. Photo radar also helped accelerate the timeline. A speed camera had captured a crisp, unmistakable shot of the license plate on the Audi, the same vehicle Mehek had been riding in that night. By 7 a.m., barely 7 hours after the collision, police were at the front door of the Bukhari home. Body cam footage of the officer's arrival showed Mahak answering the door in a fluffy pink Snuggie. Her mother, Aunt Serene, stood just behind her in a white one. Aunt Serene immediately covered her mouth with both hands, a gesture often associated with the sudden, overwhelming urge to suppress fear or shock. But Mahak looked composed. When officers began asking questions, she didn't hesitate.
Where were you, where was that?
So we stayed here, and then we went straight to Nottingham.
Right. Okay. In the Audi?
Yes.
We went to Nottingham last night. That was her first lie. But when officers mentioned CCTV that placed them in Leicester, Mahak adjusted her story, claiming road construction had forced them to detour. It wouldn't be the last version she told. At the station, Mahak was questioned again, but this time, she didn't lead with facts. She led with status. She told investigators she was a social media influencer.
I don't know if I should mention this now, but I'm out there on social media. I'm a social media influencer.
Her follower count, however, didn't impress DI Mark Parrish, the senior investigating officer, or anyone else in the room. Mahak claimed that Saqib was just another follower, someone who'd messaged her, asking to meet in person. She said she agreed, and that he never showed up. She told DI Parrish,
I know my heart's pure, I'll be straight with you, my heart is pure, and my account of what I've said now is completely true.
But that wasn't true either. When police asked for her phone, Mahak initially handed it over with the password, but when officers tried unlocking it, they realized the code had been changed.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Then, a break. Investigators access Saqib's iCloud account. There, they discovered everything. Evidence of a long-standing affair between Saqib and Aunt Serene. Confronted with this, Mahak changed her story once more. Now, she claimed, she and her mother simply wanted to talk to Saqib. She alleged that after he declined their attempts to speak, they followed him, and that the crash was an unintentional consequence of him losing control. When questioned separately, Aunt Serene denied the affair and then refused to answer any further questions. Natasha Akhtar also exercised her right to silence. But investigators had something stronger than witness testimony, surveillance footage. Thanks to automatic number plate recognition, or ANPR technology, officers could track and identify each vehicle involved. They could also clearly see there were 5 other people in the cars. Within 5 weeks, all 8 defendants were identified and charged, each one facing murder and manslaughter counts. One of them, Mohammed Patel, had initially denied ever being on the A46 that night. But after his arrest, Mohammed changed his story. He told police he didn't want any part of what had happened, that he tried to call 999 after the crash, but Mahak had stopped him. Instead, she instructed everyone to turn off their phones. All 8 defendants were tried together in one of the most high-profile murder cases the region has ever seen. Inside the courtroom, Mahak didn't appear particularly concerned. Observers noted her behavior during breaks, playing games of Uno and Monopoly with fellow defendants, occasionally blowing kisses to her father in the gallery. Some said she even struck a pose in front of the media, as the trial itself were just another reel in her feed. Ironically, or perhaps disturbingly, Mahak gained even more followers while the trial unfolded. Mehek's defense argued she wasn't involved in the fatal collision at all. She claimed that Hashim, the driver, had simply lost control of the vehicle after being pressed by Saqib to drive dangerously. According to them, this wasn't murder. It was two cars driving recklessly, with tragic but unforeseeable consequences for one of them. They claimed the lies Mehek told police were only to protect her mother, that her motivation wasn't malice, it was loyalty. Ansarine's defense team took on a more literary approach. Her solicitor, Mr. Upward, opened with the lyrics of Shania Twain's "Man, I Feel Like a Woman." He said the song captured what modern women take for granted: freedom, choice, self-expression, things Ansarine never had. No men's shirts or short skirts for her. No going wild or crazy. Her life allowed none of the sort of freedoms young women enjoy today. He painted Ansarine as someone whose youth had been stifled, locked in the roles of obedient daughter, devoted wife, and quiet mother. He described her affair with Saqib as akin to swallowing her first fentanyl pill, a dangerous rush, seductive and destructive. In his words, Saqib was the true manipulator, cunning, cruel, a predator. The defense argued that Ansarine hadn't orchestrated the meeting in Leicester. There was no hard proof she encouraged, assisted, or even fully understood what was being planned. But the prosecution disagreed. The trial lasted 3 months, and after 28 hours of deliberation, on October 4th, 2023, the jury returned with its verdicts. Both Mehek and Ansarine were found guilty. Mehek was sentenced to life in prison, with the minimum term of 31 years and 8 months. Ansarine was also sentenced to life, with a minimum term of 26 years and 9 months. Two of the men involved, Rikhan and Reiz, were likewise found guilty of murder and handed life sentences. Reiz would serve 31 years, Rikhan 26 years and 10 months. Along with the others, 23-year-old Sanaf Gula Mustafa had also been recruited to join the convoy. Though his specific role wasn't clearly defined, CCTV confirmed he was present the night of the fatal crash, placing him among those found guilty of manslaughter. Three of the defendants, Natasha Akhtar, Amir Jamal, and Sanaf Gula Mustafa, were not found guilty of murder, but found guilty of two counts of manslaughter. Natasha was sentenced to 11 years and 8 months. Amir received 14 years and 8 months. Sanaf got 14 years and 9 months. Only Mohammed Patel was acquitted of both murder and manslaughter. His decision to come forward and tell police the truth played a crucial role in the investigation. During sentencing, Judge Timothy Spencer delivered a scathing address from the bench. He said Mehek's tawdry fame as an influencer had left her utterly self-obsessed, with a wholly unjustified sense of entitlement and no apparent awareness of the impact she had on others. He added that her choice to drop out of university and chase social media clout had directly contributed to her downfall. He had equally pointed words for Ansarine. He said that when she became her daughter's chaperone, she became intoxicated by the lifestyle, a world so far removed from the one she had lived as a housewife and mother. Had she simply faced the consequences of her actions, had she not passed the burden on to her daughter, the outcome might have been vastly different. As the verdicts were read, Mehek finally broke down. Her confident facade collapsed. There were no games now, no filters, no likes, just tears. Her mother, by contrast, kept her head down, silent, emotionless. Since Mehak and her mother's sentence was handed down, the very platform she built her success on has turned against her.
TikTok influencer and her mom were recently sentenced to life in prison.
They were found guilty of murdering 21-year-old Saqib Hussein and Hashim Uzzaruddin.
23-year-old TikTok influencer Mahak Bukhari and a 46-year-old mom have been found guilty of murdering two men.
28 a.m. on Friday, February 11th, a call was made to Leicestershire police from a frantic person saying, "They're trying to kill me. They're crashing into my car." The resulting minutes resulted in the deaths of two young males.
Two men died in February 2022 in a violent car accident as a result of an ambush organized by a girl and her mother.
So Mehak Bukhari's sentence, and what does this actually mean? So I'm going to break this down for you guys.
In their victim impact statements, the families of Saqib Hussein and Hashim Ijazuddin described a loss too heavy to measure. Saqib's father told the court that his family had been shattered, that even with convictions handed down, it didn't feel like justice. Because while the Bukharis would one day be eligible for parole, his family would never get their son back. Hashim's father turned to Mehak and Ansarine Bukhari in court and asked the question that now haunts two broken families. Was it worth it? He said they hadn't just destroyed the lives of their victims. They destroyed their own. To honor Hashim's memory, a local football club in Banbury changed its name to Hashim United, a tribute his father called both humbling and devastating. He described being Hashim's father as a privilege, and one he'd give anything to still have. Saqib's father didn't hold back. He said Saqib had been groomed and manipulated by a woman older than his own mother. He said Ansarine should have known better than to begin a relationship with a teenage boy. And from that moment forward, something irreversible had been set in motion. And still, Mehak's social media accounts remain active. On TikTok and Instagram, she and her mother dance together, laugh, pose. They smile in perfect lighting, frozen in time. Her final post, a tutorial about fake eyelashes. The families of Saqib and Hasim have pleaded with platforms to remove those accounts. A petition is ongoing. One small way, grieving parents are still trying to fight back against the legacy left behind. And now, Mehak and Ansarine Bukhari carry a different kind of notoriety. Not as mother and daughter influencers, but as Britain's first mother and daughter to be convicted of a double murder. They chased clout, secrecy, and control. But in the end, it cost them everything. Two young men are dead. Two families are shattered. And two women who once danced side by side now face the rest of their lives behind bars. Follow The Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @madnesspod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.